He's been staying with Chuck and Joy, and Chuck says his story is worth hearing. So, Boris, why don't you share with us this morning? We look forward to having you here sharing with us.
Sure, sure. Thank you very much. Well, thank you again for allowing me to come and to be able to come and share a little bit of what God is doing in Ecuador and what He's doing in my life and what He did in my life in order to what we're doing now. So I would like to start first with a video. It's short, and this will give you a little bit of understanding of what are the type of girls that we're working and what's what we do in Ecuador. So start with the video.
Helping single mothers. They would invite these moms into their home and share a meal with them, devotional, and offering counseling that they needed. That turned into what Dunamis is today. Dunamis' vision is to empower, welcome, and teach life skills. Teaching skills such as how to sew, how to do cosmetology, how to make the tagua jewelry, computer skills, and some English. Two girls who have been victims of sex and labor trafficking, rape, and abuse in their homes, so that when they leave the shelter or graduate from the program, they have the necessary skills to go back into society. It is so important for Dunamis to have this safe house so that the girls can be full-time with an organization that God has made for them. I am Ashley Murphy, and I am a missionary from Oklahoma, and I am with Dunamis. I love being here at Dunamis and working with the girls, getting to see the beautiful jewelry that they make and teaching them computer classes and just building relationships with them and sharing God's love and the gospel. My testimony is similar to theirs, and they know my testimony, and we felt that it was important for them to know my story because abuse isn't only in Ecuador, it's all over the world, and then it's not just them that it happens to, it happens to everyone. And that sometimes justice isn't served. God is our Redeemer, and He loves us, and He saves us, and He picked us, and He has so much love for us. And it's so important that they get to know His love.
Hola, mi nombre es Camila Lisbeth Flores Macía. Tengo 12 años y vengo de la costa.
Concordia.
De la Concordia. Y sí me gusta estar aquí, aprendo muchas cosas, aprendo joyerías, aprendo a hacer pulseras y muchas cosas más. Y sí me gusta porque con eso puedo salir adelante y puedo sacar adelante a mi familia.
Hola, me llamo Joana, tengo 13 años, soy de Quevedo, tengo dos hermanas y una bebé y me gusta de aquí. Todo porque nos enseñan cosas buenas.
Mi nombre es Natalie, tengo 10 años y soy de Quevedo, parte Bucache y tengo 3 hermanas.
Mi nombre es Lady Brigitte Candasanza, tengo 14 años, soy de la costa, parte Arenillas. Me gusta estar aquí. Es muy bonito, te ayudan aquí con tu parte económica un poco, ya no tienes que trabajar el dinero fácil, sino que saber lo que es trabajar con dinero honrado.
Me llamo Nicole, tengo 14 años y vengo de Los Ríos, tengo dos hermanas que ya se presentaron, tengo una sobrinita. ¿Y qué me gusta de aquí? Bailar.
Hola, mi nombre es Carmen Yuri Rodríguez, tengo 16 años, soy de El Oriente, del Aguario, y lo que me gusta hacer es pintar, sé hacer manicure, pedicure.
Mi nombre es Carolina Siza, tengo 15 años, vengo de Quito, me gusta hacer joyería y costura.
Dunamis started 5 years ago with the purpose of teaching these girls life skills. But it started in Quito, Ecuador. We're located in the capital city of Ecuador. And this is one of the plazas there in Quito area. But before I go, you know, about the mission and about the ministry, I would like to tell you a little bit of myself and how God transformed my life, and that He can use anybody to transform and bring glory to Him and bring people to His feet. So you can see there, I was born Colombian. I was not born Ecuadorian. My mom kicked me out of the house when I was 11 years old. I really wanted to go to the ocean and in Colombia. I wanted to go visit the coast, which is Cartagena. And, well, what happened was in my weight of jumping in trucks and buses and everything I could in order to get there, I fall asleep in one of the trucks, and they were taking me in the direction that I wasn't wanting to go, which was Ecuador and the border. So when I got to the border, I decided to go to Ecuador, and I went to the coast there. And, well, and the coast there is really hard to make a living. So I decided to go into the city, and that's where I met all this group of kids that are in that picture. And you can see I'm holding out some socks in one of the pictures there. And it's interesting. It was a bigger group. It was about 30 kids. But all of those kids that you see in this picture right now, beside myself, is Mike. Is on my right hand. He's a pastor now. He works in Quito as a youth pastor. But then the rest of my friends, the rest of my buddies on the street, they all got killed. They were in jail and got killed in jail. So God really rescued from that group of kids two out of them. So, but when I was 14, I thought I could do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, and I started getting involved with drugs, got involved with stealing, got involved in a lot of things with this group of kids. When I was 14, I was committing a robbery, and this person who I was stealing a hat from, I crossed the street, and I believe it was this person, because when I woke up in the hospital, I didn't have the hat in my hand, so I believe it was the owner of the hat. So I woke up in the hospital. I have blood all over my clothes. But what happened was this person came from the back and hit me in the back of my head and hit me so hard that broke my skull bone. And the doctor said, well, we need to do surgery. We need to take that piece out. It was already stuck in my brain. I had already blood in there. And the doctor said that I might lose my sight through the surgery, or might lose to have a movement of my body, or I can die through the surgery. Well, I was on the streets. I had nobody that really was caring for me, so I said, well, do whatever you need to do. Well, this person that you see in this picture, this North American couple there, after my surgery, they showed up in the hospital and asked me if I wanted to go and live with them. And as soon as I see this gringo, I was like, oh, this is good. I'll go with them. And as soon as I go with them, you know, I recover from all my injuries, and I can call my friends and maybe steal everything these guys have. Well, that was the plan that I had. And after a year of living with them, God started showing me through their actions that they really wanted to care for me. They really wanted to show me Jesus' love. You know, before all this, before I moved to live with this North American couple and before my accident, a lot of missions were coming to the streets and giving us soup, clothes, anything that we wanted, people were giving us these things on the streets. But they were always asking something before they give you the soup, for example. It was like, who wants to receive Jesus? Who wants to become a Christian? So I noticed that every time my friends and I did not raise our hand, we only get one bowl of soup, or we won't get seconds. So that was interesting. But every time we did raise our hand, we did get a second bowl of soup. We get shoes. We get clothes. So that was interesting. So for 3.5 years, every Wednesday night, I received Jesus for a plate of soup, become a Christian, without really understanding what I was doing. I didn't know who Jesus was. I thought Jesus was a plate of soup and shoes, and that was it. But when I went to live with this family, and they start showing me that Jesus was more than that, I start understanding what I did in the past was nothing. So I was living with them, and I went to a church. Remember, I loved to play guitar. I wanted to learn how to play the guitar. So I knew that if I go to this church that this North American couple was telling me, I was going to be able to learn how to play the guitar. So I start going to this church, and a lady came one day and said, can I pray for you? And I was like, okay, well, you can pray for me. And, she started praying in tongues, and that was way out of the radar for me. Well, then after that, there's another lady shows up and says, well, Boris, can I told you what she said? And I said, sure, because I didn't understand anything she said. She said that Jesus is coming to visit you tonight. That was another thing that I said, well, I think I'm out. So I left the church. My way to the house, I start thinking, well, maybe what they really are talking about, maybe what they really mean is that maybe I'm going to die tonight. Or, through my surgery and everything, I start thinking maybe I'm going to die, maybe something's going to happen. Or if it's Jesus going to show up, he's going to be like a ghost and I'm going to be all freaked out, I'm going to die. None of that happened. But that lady left something in my heart. And when I went to my mom and I talked to her, this is my mom, my North American mom, and I told her, hey, you know, this happened. This lady told me this. And she said, well, if you die tonight, you need to... You want to make sure you want to go to heaven. I said, yeah. How can I do that? How can I make sure? She said, well, you need to accept Jesus. And I told her, well, I've been receiving Jesus for so long. What's going to be the difference today if I receive it? What, are you going to give me soup? And then she goes, no. Reality is that what's going to happen is you know who Jesus is now. And you know that without him, you're not going to be able to keep moving in life. And if you die tonight or something happened to you tonight, well, then if you don't accept him in your heart and you don't ask for repentance for all you have done in the past, well, then what's going to happen is you're not going to end up in a good place. So I accepted that night. I accept Jesus into my heart, with knowing that without him, I was not going to be able to take that anger that I had against my mom. Had a lot of anger. I was on the streets. Got involved in drugs. I was in another country. It was with another family from another country because of her. So I was blaming her, and I knew something was not right in my heart. So I asked the Lord to forgive me for all that. And, He didn't show up as I thought, and as a ghost, and I didn't die. So the very next morning, I asked the Lord that I wanted to show people and I wanted to show my friends who he was and who he is to the people that, you know, will come too close to me, that I want to show who he really is and his love. So that's when I start working on the streets. I start working with kids from the streets, as you can tell. I was working for different ministries and churches. It took me about a year for my friends to become, to understand that I was different. They were like, you're no change. We know who you are. You're not different. Start working in the jungle also with teams and groups to introduce the gospel to the people. And then through my journey, I was able to finish school, go to seminary, and then God provided this beautiful wife into my life. And now we have two daughters, but in this picture we only have Zoe. She's 5 now. She was at that time, she was a year old. But God provided this beautiful family. And with my wife, we really wanted to impact the people that were going to be coming towards us. We start working with people that, these missionaries, they were out there, but they didn't have the support that they needed. This is something that is happening in the local church in Ecuador. They don't really support their missionaries. And when I hear about your church praying for their for your missionaries and the people that are coming in, going out, wow, it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful to see that. It's sad we don't get to see that happening in Ecuador. And please pray for the church that God will bring revealed to the church there as well. But then we start working with the missionaries to do events. We start doing all kinds of craziness to try to raise support for them. Meanwhile, the people that were helping us get these events happening and make jewelry, sell t-shirts, doing all kinds of craziness, were all these girls coming from human trafficking. We got a connection with the foundation and they were coming. But they were coming with their own problems. And it was really hard for us to have two ministries at the same time. So we went to the church and introduced the ministry to the church, introduced Dunamis about these girls. And they really rejected it. They really don't want to do anything to do with these girls. They said it was sad. It's sad what's happening to them, but really, we really don't want to have anything that will include, bring this to our local community church, and that's not gonna happen for now. We're interested in something else. So we were rejected from both of our churches, Fernanda and I, but we knew God wanted to do something with us, with these girls also. So that's when we decided to start working with Tagua. Tagua is this nut right here you see. And Tagua is all those necklaces that are made, and some of you guys purchase some. It's a nut from the jungle or the coast, and we cook it, we dye it, I mean, we cut it, we do the whole process. And we teach these girls the whole process of this so they can make some support for themselves. So we start seeing all these girls coming, and we noticed that it was important for them to know about the gospel, know about Jesus. So we have 14 girls right now in our program. The ages are from 9 to 17. Some of those girls, as you saw in the video, have kids. Usually what happens with the girls, they have their kids once they finish their process in the shelters where they are. They end up sometimes selling the kid to a good family, which is that's a good case. But sometimes, who look for those girls are the pimps that were working for in the past, so they can sell their kids to doctors, and that's when the organ trafficking happens with the kids. So it's really, 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 really hard when these girls have babies, because most of those kids will end up in organ trafficking. These are some of the girls. These are girls that have been lied to. The enemy has been coming into their life and lied to that they're no good, they're trash, they're dirty towels. So when they come to us and we tell them that they're loved and they're that there is a God that loves them, it's really hard to introduce the gospel to them. So most of the human trafficking and sex trafficking happens through the family. They're the ones who sell them to the pimps, so they're the ones who are the traffickers sometimes in the family. So it's really hard for them to really trust that there is a God. So we have a program for 3 months, because right now what we have, like you saw in the video, is just a daily center where they come during the day, but they have to go to sleep in the shelters during the night. How it happens is they get rescued from a brothel, put in a shelter for 3 months, and these shelters decide either to send them to another shelter or they get sent to their home, which is the worst, because that's they will end up going back into that world. These girls only have 3 months because these shelters have financial agreements with the government, and those financial agreements is, well, I have a good payment, good check every month, but I don't really care about these girls. So every month, every 3 months, they change the group. And it's just really hard for them to really invest in their life if it's only for 3 months. So for us, it's important to have a protection house. We'll be actually the first protection house in Quito, Ecuador. We'll have a police officer 24/7. We'll have all the security that these girls will need. These are girls that are very attached to the pimps, and the pimps will really want to get them back. We'll need a police officer, and we need a lot of security for them. But through these years, we've been seeing girls that have come out and went to different shelters. We've been working for 5 years, different shelters. But they take that seed that we have planted in their lives, that we have put in their lives, and they have come back and said, look, this is what's happening. We have a story of a girl. Her name is Nati. She actually is working right now for Dynamis. She was in sex trafficking. Then she had a kid with her, a 2-year-old boy. And what happened through the time that she was in Dynamis, we were able to show the gospel to her. And after that, she was one of the girls that was sent to her home. But also God was doing something else with the mother and somewhere else. And the mother become Christian and she become Christian. They both came to know the Lord. And now they started this Bible study in their home. And it's amazing. She lives 2 hours away from where Dynamis is, and she comes to work at Dynamis, and she gets to tell us about what God is doing. She's also in school right now, and she wants to become a police officer. And it's amazing what God does in 3 months. Sometimes we can say, well, you know, I'm going to have an hour with this person, so I'm not going to share anything about God or anything. Reality is that God uses any time, any little time to introduce the gospel to people. So once we allowed us to for Him to work in us, to work in other people's life, it's amazing what happens after a period of time. So we have a Bible study. Before we start anything, all the programs, we have a Bible study, and they get to hear about the Word, they get to read the Word, and that's when they start asking those questions. So if there's a God, how can I trust if, you know, my mother sold me or my father was the one that abused me? How can I trust in this? And reality, those questions, there's no answers. you have to have the Holy Spirit with us to be able to behind us to be able to answer those things. And it's amazing what God has been doing through the years, like I said, through with these girls. Well, they're in Bible study. I'm in charge of the kids, so I take care of the kids while they're in study. These are some of the girls that make their jewelry, and this is, like I said, how they make their support. We don't make any money out of the jewelry. The money goes directly to the girl who made the necklace or made the bracelet or the pair of earrings. It goes directly to the girl. Otherwise, if we were making money out of that, we will be doing labor trafficking, and we don't want that to happen. They do all kinds of things in order to, which is the training, manicure, pedicure, and all the beauty stuff, computer classes, and through all the program that we have right now, we've seen that it's important, like I said a minute ago, to have a home. So for us to have this home will bring about 20 girls inside the house, plus the police officer and the people that will take care of those girls during the day. So this is my family and some of the girls that were in that video. And again, thank you very much for allowing us to come to share and share a little bit of what we're doing. If you have any questions, you can ask me now, or you can ask me later after the service.
I have a question.
Sure.
You said that the one girl was going to school. Doesn't school there cost money?
Yes, that's correct.
Where did that money for her schooling come from?
Well, Dunamis is, while we've been raising support for Dunamis, it's not been just... it's been just for Dunamis and for the protection house. We haven't raised money for school, or we haven't told people about the school. So Fernanda and I, we have been, what we did was we took some money from our checks so we can pay for her school. So she's going to school through us. So yeah, it's totally different, but that's how she's going to school. Well, the cost of the is going to be in different stages. It's going to be in two stages, but the cost of the building, it's about $120,000 just for the building once it's done completely. So, that's how it's going to be. You're welcome. Yes.
How did you get your education?
Through that person that was in that one of the pictures, his name is Ron Stiff. He's my dad. He started his school in Quito, Ecuador, and that's where I got my education, through him. And he was able to give me the education I needed, learn a little bit of English, and then again went to seminary and try to make my way into life through. Through this North American family, there's also a missionary. There are still missionaries down in Ecuador. Yeah. So, any more questions?
How old were you when this North American family?
I was 14. Wow. I was 14. Yes. And yeah, they're my parents now. They're my family. So it's wonderful to have a family that really cares for you and that it's very interested. My real family, the one that are in Colombia, I talked to my mom. It's a little difficult that relationship because she doesn't know the Lord. But I'm praying that she will become to know Him, and it's important for me to, every once in a while talk to her and introduce the gospel to her. So she still rejects me a little bit when it comes down to the gospel. So you can pray for us for that. Pray for me, for my mom. So, yes.
Where do you generate or get your income now for your
We get it from donors, from people from here, from this country, from the States, churches, people that want to support Dunamis individually. That's how we've been raising support through the years. And yeah, that's how we usually get the support.
Is there a problem now with, I know the government down there is going through its usual not happy times.
Yes. It is right now what the financially the government is really struggling. So it's struggling with all the countries. So these other shelters that are having the girls, they're the ones that are going to struggle. The ones that have that are getting support, financial support from the government. So it's going to really maybe shut down a lot of those shelters once they start giving support for those. So specifically to us, because we don't get anything from the government other than the permits that we need to work with human trafficking as a legal entity there, no, we won't have any issues with them. So yes, no more questions. Yes.
You know, we were down there last year, Kia. We went to actually our cousin's wedding.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And church that's all gold.
Oh, yeah.
And we were just shaking our heads because of the amount of wealth in that. And then you're showing, and as the Henrys have shown, just an absolute opposite. Is there a problem, and maybe I'm not saying it right, Catholicism versus Christianity down there? Is there sort of an unease, or do you get along, or?
Well, Christianity there, everybody's Christian. Everybody's a Christian there. So when you introduce the gospel and you ask about who Jesus is into their life, they really don't know what that is, what having a relationship is with Jesus Christ. So it's really hard for the Christians to introduce the gospel, because Mary is the big thing there. So when you come across Mary and then Jesus, well, they put Mary up and Jesus is down here. So it's very hard, but it's like, again, you know, it's not impossible. These girls also struggle with a lot of that. So that's why it's important to have the counseling that we have with the girls, to be able to introduce the gospel little by little to them, and so they can read it, and then they can understand who Jesus is. We have 14 girls in our program, and our goal is not for us to make them Christians. That's not our goal. Our goal is for them to understand who Jesus is and what he's doing and what he can do now in the lives of people. And once they understand that and they realize that without him, there's nothing in this world that they can do, well, if we get them close to that, well, they can make a decision for themselves and ask God to come inside and live inside their hearts. Because otherwise, I can come up and with great testimony, great things to the girls, good plate of soup, good clothes, good things. And I can tell, I can have 14 Christians, but without really understanding the meaning of becoming a Christian. And that's knowing that we have all our commitment. That commitment is, oh, well, we have to read our word. We have to keep every morning that relationship going. Because otherwise, we won't be able to grow. We won't be able to grow in faith. So our goal is to get them close to make that decision, knowing that that decision is the only thing that's going to help them in this world. So you're welcome.
The group of girls that are in the video, those are the girls that I got the privilege of working with, so I recognize those faces. But about the time we came back to the States, that group left.
Exactly.
The 3-month period, Mm-hmm. Didn't know about. I have two other sisters. There were those three sisters in the video, the 12, now 13-year-old being the mother of the baby. Can you tell them now? You know,
yeah, with those three girls, it was a 9-year-old, 12-year-old, and 13-year-old. 15-year-old, yes. And you remember it very well. They were abused by the father. He was the one who was pimping them. He was selling them to his neighbors. And the 15-year-old was pregnant by the father. So that was one of the kids from him. So he was, they said he was put in jail, but reality he was never in jail for what he needed to be. He was there for a couple of days, and then he was left out. But these girls right now, they were going to separate all of the sisters through different shelters. And that was how they were going to end up. But they found a shelter where they were able to put all the three sisters in once. The problem with that is that, again, 3 months, and they will end up in their family. So the mother of these three sisters, she was not believing the girls that this was happening. So it's been 6 months since we haven't talked to them, but we know for sure that the older sister is back in the house with them. We don't know. The mother, they said the mother kind of start knowing that the children were abused by the father, and she's kind of going away, but it's just really hard to follow track with them because they're not in our program, so it's really hard to really keep track with them. So yeah, pray for those sisters. They're the ones that need a lot of prayer, so please do. Thank you again. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
Thank you. Turn my mic on here. I'm going to have Gary come up in a minute, but I want to take some time to pray for Boris this morning. So Boris and his family and the ministry. Lord and Heavenly Father, we lift up Boris and his family right now, and just sitting here in the pews, and we recognize that human trafficking and things like this are not just happening in Ecuador. They're happening all over the world. They're happening here. Abuse is not just an Ecuadorian problem. But Lord, it seems so overwhelming. And yet we know that you're a big God, and you're a great God, and you're a powerful God, and you're a good God. And you touch lives, and you bring healing, and you bring new life. And Lord, we just lift up the ministry of Dunamis as they introduce new life in Christ to these girls. And as these girls struggle with that, and hopefully eventually many of them, if not most of them, if not all of them, come to understanding of who you are and an acceptance of what you have done, that salvation that just blows us all away. And so we just pray for this ministry, pray that you'd provide for this house. We pray that as a result, their time with these girls would not just be limited to 3 months, but they'd be able to long-term pour into their lives. We pray for Boris as he's over here in the States, I'm sure missing his family. And Lord, I just pray that the churches, the places he's speaking and sharing, that would be receptive and be a blessing to him. We pray for his wife and kids and the staff over there holding down the fort. And Lord, I just pray your hand of blessing and protection upon them as well. And Lord, we just lift up this ministry to you. We thank you for the opportunity in some small way to partner with them. And we just pray that you just continue to use these people to share the good news of Jesus Christ with these young women. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome.